All right, good morning. Would you guys stand with me? We're going to get into worship. Something we tell our youth on Sunday nights is because we do worship Sunday nights, and I always try to remind them that as they're coming into this space and coming into this place, that they would posture. The verbiage I like to use is posture your heart, and I like using that word because for me it gives me a word picture of what it is to like physically move. Like if I'm posturing a certain way, my posture is when I'm sitting or standing a certain way, it's actually me adjusting my body a certain way. And so I like to remind our students that as they're, because usually we're coming out of like a game or something, and so we're transitioning into now we're going to do a serious moment. And so, you know, as we come from our morning, whatever we came through, whatever, you know, maybe you just came from home, maybe you just came from wherever you did, and maybe you're distracted or you're not focused as much on the Lord, my heart and hope would be that we would just posture ourselves to receive from God this morning, amen? And so that we would not just make a physical motion with our posture, but also a something in the inside, a posture on the inside. And so pray with me. God, we just thank you so much that we get to come into this place and lift up praise and song to you, God. God, I just pray this morning, Lord, that our hearts would be postured towards you, Father, that our hearts would be geared and focused in on you this morning, God. I pray, Lord, for every heaviness, every burden, Lord, every sickness, God, Lord, every infirmity, God, anything, Lord, any distraction, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke it, God, and I just ask you this morning, God, that you would meet us right where we are, God. I thank you, Jesus, that we get to meet here in this building, Lord, in Selah, Washington, God, and that you meet us right where we are, God. I just pray blessing, Lord, over this morning, blessing, God, over every person here, every person that is at home, wasn't able to make it, God. Every person that may even still be on their way, God, I just pray right now that you would bless them, Jesus, and that, God, that whatever they need, Lord, they would receive this morning, God. I thank you, Jesus, that this doesn't have to be just another Sunday. This doesn't just have to be just another moment, God, where we come into the music part of service and we sing some songs, God, that sound good. But instead, God, it could be a moment where our lives get changed forever. God, where you can encounter us, God, where you can do something new in us, God. So I thank you, Jesus, for who you are. God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And I just pray, Father, that again, as we posture our hearts towards you, God, you would posture your heart towards us. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Deserve, though I'm weak and much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry.
Graduated high school, I went away to college. I left my family and went 3 hours away from them, and I was so happy, but not really happy. I had just suffered a really hard breakup. I'd been engaged to be married, and he was an evangelist, and we were going to do all of these wonderful things, and then all of a sudden, the relationship was just broken. And when I went to college, you go through kind of a cultural shock when you're leaving home for the first time. You're in a dorm with a bunch of girls, and just all of these things, just real culture shock for me. And I remember we were oh my goodness, it was such an old dorm, and there were like six bunk beds in one room. And we had been talking one night, and we were talking about carrying baggage. And I can honestly say, through my Christian walk, the thing I have struggled the most with is forgiveness. I don't know about anybody else, but that is seems to be my thorn in the flesh. I don't know, but I've struggled with it, and I know some of it is the way that I was brought up as a kid. I try really hard not to do that, but I still find myself at times having a rough time with someone that hurts me, and then it's ridiculous. Anyway, so this one night we were talking about baggage, and one gal, she was a very tiny gal, but she had this fire in her. She was like a little, I don't mean any offense, but she was a little jumping bean, she just was everywhere. And she said to me, "Well, if you have all that unforgiveness in your heart, how can Jesus be in there too?" And I mean, I felt like she had gut punched me. I just almost lost my breath. It was so painful to hear that. And she was right. I mean, I honestly remember almost as if this unforgiveness was a pet. I kept it close. I didn't want anybody messing with it. This was mine, all that stuff. But then I realized the one I'd been hurting was myself and the Lord. And so at college, it was a Bible college, we had we called it the prayer chapel, but it was just a simple A-frame. And it was probably smaller than this whole area right here. It was tiny. You could go in, and there was an old organ in there that you could play if you knew how. And I sat down on the organ bench, kind of straddled it, kind of like how Eric is sitting on the cajon here. And I'm just like, "Lord, I don't want to carry this anymore. I mean, I'm just overwhelmed, and I just don't know what to do." And I got this picture of a platter that had been lowered and set in front of me on the piano bench right here. And the Lord said, "Go one by one. What's hurting you, put that hurt on the platter. What's causing you pain, put that pain on the platter. That unforgiveness, put that unforgiveness on that platter. The sorrow that you're feeling from that terrible breakup, put it on that platter. The pain you went through, all of these things," the Lord just kept reminding me of all the things that I had taken in and I had shoved down. And then I had put things on top of it so none of that garbage could resurface, because I didn't want to deal with it. To be honest, most of us don't. But the Lord said, "Get out of the way of all that stuff and take it out, put it on that platter." So I did. And then he said, "What are you going to do with the platter? You can carry that heavy platter around if you want, but do ya really want to?" And he said, "Give it to me." So I put my hands underneath that platter, and I lifted that platter, no real platter, but platter, all the way up, and I just gave it to the Lord. And then all of a sudden, this peace just flooded my being. All of that anger and that pain and the hurt and the disillusionment and everything that I've been feeling my whole life, it just felt like the Lord just took it away. How many of us need that platter today? I'm going to ask you to do something for me, and it may be uncomfortable, but you know what? God's not about your being comfortable or not. He's about you being free. Amen? He's about freedom. He's about salvation. He's about relationship with Him. So I want everybody just to close your eyes. And I want you, so you men, I want you to pretend it's not a platter, but it's a big round slice that's been taken from the trunk of a tree. And it's, you can easily lift it. And I want you to put everything on that platter that's hurting you. It could be, it could be God holding off on a prayer for you that you've been praying for a long time and it just hasn't been answered. Put it on your platter and take everything out. And remember this one thing. You can still believe. You can still make room for Jesus when you get all that junk out. So in your mind, even if you have to do it in the natural, like pull it out of you and place it on that platter, do that. Let's do that together. And let's just lift that platter to Jesus. Can you just offer it to Him? His offerings don't all have to be wonderful and great and a bounty. The offering you give to Him is the freedom that you get in return, that you lift that to Him. He'll take care of it if you let Him. Can you do that this morning? As we sing this song, I Still Believe, can you take that platter after you've emptied yourself out and just offer it to Jesus this morning? If anybody wants to have special prayer, like you just need the physical to know you're doing this, just come on up if that's what you need. Because you want to be right here with us. So, Father, I thank you for the freedom that that provides to us as your kids. The freedom that you give that we can replace hurt and pain and sorrow with your love and your peace, your goodness and your kindness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you just thank the Lord this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let us walk in freedom. Let us walk, Lord God, in your righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus' name, we pray all of these things. Amen and amen. Let's greet one another. Grab a cup of coffee if you need it. We'll meet back here in a few minutes.
Yeah, it's on. Jesse just has to catch up. I love that song. He will make a way. He'll always make a way. He'll always make a way. So it's our time. We get to make a declaration over the Yakima Valley. If you would stand with me, and we will declare this with faith and confidence that when we say things out of our mouth, that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and that we are going to come into agreement that God's going to be doing a supernatural work over our valley, over the townships, everything. Amen? Okay, on three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the Yakima Valley. We thank you, Lord, that this is the place, Lord, that you have placed us, Lord, at this time in our lives. And Father, we stand in the gap now for our Yakima Valley. We stand in the gap, Lord, for all of the different cities and townships, Lord, and all the different municipalities, Lord, every single place where government is ran, Lord. We pray that you would be upon those leaders, Lord, and give them wisdom, give them divine direction, Lord. Help them lead and rule, Lord, with righteousness and truth. Lord, we pray that you would establish, Lord, your dominion and your kingdom, Lord, in our valley. Lord, in the hearts, Lord, of people. Lord, we pray, God, that you would just touch every individual, Lord, during these two big events, Lord, where people start focusing on family and start focusing on relationships, Lord, during Thanksgiving and Christmas, Lord, that you'd let them focus on you, Lord. Focus on the truth, Lord. Focus on the reasons for the season, God. And Lord, that there would be just an atmosphere, Lord, of worship, an atmosphere of praise, an atmosphere of thanksgiving, Lord, an atmosphere of honoring you, Lord, that would fill this valley. Lord, we just pray right now for every heart and every life, Lord, that doesn't know you, Lord, that you would remove their obstacles and their barriers, Lord, and everything that's hindering them from knowing you and knowing the truth and knowing the light of the glorious gospel. Lord, that you would just bring salvation, Lord, to our valley in a miraculous way. Lord, that there would be testimonies and reports that we would hear from all over how many people are coming to know the truth, Lord. We pray right now that our valley would be a place and valley of God, Lord, where the presence of God and the peace of God and the comfort of the Holy Spirit would rest. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay, well, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, the 14th, we'll have our men's breakfast. And I encourage all you men to join us. We have a great breakfast. Then we have a word that is shared, and we have a good time of fellowship. So please join us for that. It's downstairs, and it's a great time. And then I want to let you know that on December 22nd, we will be having our candlelight service. Usually we have that in two services, usually Sunday morning and then another night, but we're doing it all on a Sunday night, and we're not going to have an AM service. So you guys can sleep in on Sunday morning, and then we'll come Sunday night and have our candlelight service, worship the Lord, and experience what he has for us. Usually we do also a communion service during that time, so it's an expression time of just worshiping God, fellowshipping. We usually have some refreshments afterwards. So it's a great, great service to invite family and friends to, because, you know, this time of year, again, people are looking for spiritual things in their lives. And then I want to thank everybody for giving. Thank you for giving faithfully and honoring the Lord in your tithes and your offerings. It is a blessing to us. and to this house, that we can pay the bills, we can continue to do everything that we need to do because of your faithfulness. All right, praise the Lord. I'm going to switch mics here. Could I get a water, please? Thank you. Well, it is the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and did everyone have a great Thanksgiving? Good, praise the Lord. It's a time when we can, you know, gather together as families and as friends and see, you know, eat a lot of food for a lot of us. This year, Gay and I are on a carnivore diet, so we didn't get to do any pumpkin pies, any of the treats that we normally have. Pecan pie, I love pecan pie. Who likes coconut cream pie? They're one of my favorite. I'm a sweet tooth person. Oh, thank you. Just in time. It got dry. I'm a sweet tooth person, and it's difficult when you go on some kind of lifestyle change around this time of season, because you know it's like part of the emotional experience of Thanksgiving and Christmas. And this time of year where it's like, oh, I just enjoy being with people, and it's like food just becomes part of that experience. But I was thinking yesterday and a little bit on Friday about, you know, the message, and this thought came to me, and I've shared on this principle before, not specifically this particular way that I'm going to do it, but I'm calling this the sacrifice of Thanksgiving, and it's not the turkey. Even though the turkey is sacrificed on Thanksgiving a lot of times, except for the ones I think that get pardoned at the White House and specific ones. Most turkeys are given their lives so that we can enjoy Thanksgiving together. But this, I want to talk about the idea of what Thanksgiving is and maybe another way for you to think about it. You know, we were at our family gathering on Friday for just a few of us, and it was Gay's sister, my brother-in-law, and we were sitting there, and all of a sudden someone said, hey, let's all go around and give thanks for something. And I noticed how there was such a hesitancy in people to give thanks. Even though I knew that even though maybe we're not wealthy, all of us had reason to give thanks. But I think part of the thing is that we don't think about the reasons that we should give thanks. So hopefully I'll give you some of those reasons here today and maybe give you some training of how to be a thankful person. I think Christians, above all individuals, should be thankful people. I think we should let that be like a characteristic that people know of us. I've talked about it before, that, you know, usually when I'm leaving a store or I'm leaving, you know, even the place where you're self-checkouting, you know, and even if the guys or the gals just still at the station, when I get done checking out, I'm walking away, I say, thank you, you know, and oh, you bet. Have a great day. And it's, even though they didn't necessarily help me at that particular moment, they were ready there to help me. A lot of times they're there also to use my 50-cent coupons off at Safeway, because you can't do those yourself because I don't have the code. If anybody has the code, let me know and I can bypass that. Just kidding. But no, there's like a hesitancy of in people for being thankful. You know, I remember when, you know, was raising our kids and somebody would do something for them and we'd stand there, okay, what are you forgetting? You know, and they're like, well, I don't know. It's like, you're forgetting to say thank you. And then they say thank you, but it doesn't really have the same weight as when they do say thank you. Yeah, without having to have the parent, you know, kick them in, you know, hey, come on, you say thank you. But I don't know, maybe it's just our society that you know, there's just a lack of gratefulness and a lack of appreciation. And so I think as Christians, we could raise the standard, especially in our valley, of being individuals that are thankful and grateful and appreciate all the people that help us and all the individuals that we interact with. I think it would make a difference in people's lives. They would feel appreciated. And you know, when you feel appreciated and honored, it's like a touch from God. Because the devil doesn't make you feel appreciated and honored. That's something from God, being appreciated and honored. So let's go ahead and take a look at the Old Testament. I know it's old, but it's really good. It's still got good stuff in there. This is Leviticus. And how many love Leviticus? Come on, nobody. Jesse's raising his hand. He's lying, of course. No, Leviticus has good things in it, but it also has just stuff that when I think we've been reading through it, right? And it's just like, okay, like how many more sores do we have in our body today we have to watch? You know, it's like, now that's you know, that's part of the Old Testament law. But every now and then you find things in there that you can totally relate to your Christian walk. How many know that the Old Testament is basically fully a type and shadow of Jesus? All of those burnt offerings and guilt offerings, they all go back to Jesus. But this particular one applies for us today. So this is the law of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, which he shall offer to the Lord. I want to preface this. The peace offering was one of like five offerings that was ordained by God that the Israelites were to follow through with and until they wouldn't worship him any longer, because it was established as, again, types and shadows for Jesus. The peace offerings were an offering that was a voluntary offering. Most of the offerings were all required. Most of the offerings, they had to do at certain times of the year, you know, like Passover, they had to bring their lambs. If they had sinned in any way, they had to bring their sin offerings, and they had, you know, if they had issues with guilt and restitution, they had to bring a guilt offering. So they had all these different things that they had to follow, mandatory. But their peace offerings was because they were grateful. Their peace offerings were because they were thankful for what the God had done in their life. Maybe they had just finished a vow where they had had dedication time to the Lord, and they just wanted to thank the Lord for that time. Or maybe they're thanking the Lord for their family, or for, it was a way that an Israelite could show God, hey, this is just to let you know I'm grateful. And then he says, if he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. Besides the cakes of his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. So this peace offering sometimes would be an animal. And one of the things that was part of the peace offering is, and also the sin offering, but the peace offering as well, when the priest had either bread or meat or whatever was offered, he would literally lift it before the Lord. And I read that they had a specific motion that they would do with this. You guys know what the motion is? It looked like they were making a cross with this offering. And the idea behind the peace offering and the sacrifice of thanksgiving is that it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. It's freely given. It's from the free will of the persons. Then it says, beside the cakes of his offerings, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving as a peace offering. And then Leviticus 22, same chapter, 29 through 31, it says, and when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. On the same day it shall be eaten, you shall leave none of it until morning. I am the Lord. So this sacrifice of thanksgiving was of your own free will. Now, taking that to us, that's why, you know, when we say thank you to the Lord, he's not twisting our arm. When we say, Lord, thank you for the breath in my lungs, That's one thing that Gay was sharing that day. She said, thank you, Lord, that I have breath in my lungs. Thank you, Lord, that I have today, that you gave me today, that I'm alive today. And, you know, I think part of it is that we get so jaded. We get so, like, what's the word I want to use? Almost like unappreciated, of course, but we get to the place where it's just like it's old hat living. I'm just living. But when you've come close to death, like I remember when I got out of the hospital and I knew that I had almost died. I mean, I appreciated every moment I had, even in the recovery state I was in, which wasn't always good. I was so thankful to be alive. And I think it has given me a greater appreciation for life, a greater appreciation for every moment that I have after that. And I mean, it'd be sad if all of us have to get to the point of death that we truly start to appreciate life that we've been given. Hopefully not. I know Mom back there, she was at one point right at the point of death, and she really appreciates life. She really appreciates every day that she gets. And so, but it should be something that we get in our hearts because we realize life's given to us by God. You know, where it's Him who made us, not we ourselves. Remember that psalm? It is He who made us and made us so that we have breath in our lungs and not we ourselves. Amen. I'll amen that because that's good. Okay, Psalm 119, 108. Accept, I pray, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. This is another thing that I think people, for whatever reason, are like hesitant of opening their mouth. Even like times of worship. I know a lot of people like, and they're, you know, they don't want to sing maybe because they're afraid they're going to offend somebody or they just don't feel comfortable opening their mouth. But that's something that we do as Christians. We open our mouth and we thank the Lord. Now, if you're not comfortable around people, well then, you know, get in your car on Monday morning and thank the Lord. I believe Thanksgiving, when you start to become a thankful person, it will become contagious and it will be like a fuel for more thanksgiving from you. Like once you're starting to work and operate in being thankful, it'll spread to all areas of your life. But it's a free will offering of my mouth. You have control over what you do. God's not going to force us to thank Him. God's not going to force us to worship Him. I've always been uncomfortable when people say, come on, people, worship. It's like, all right, that's not good. Because God's not doing that. He's waiting, and He'll receive it. And He knows that when we worship and when we thank Him, that it's good for us because a blessing comes back to us. When we worship God, something happens. Yeah, obviously He fills the atmosphere. Obviously, you know, he's inhabiting our praises, but he the reality of His presence comes to us closer. And when we thank Him, I believe it opens up the heavens for us. I believe it opens up greater opportunities in our life that we sometimes can't tell until, you know, God gives you the eyesight to recognize this is because your heart's been turned towards me. You've opened up all these opportunities. It's not that He didn't want to bless you before. It's like it opens up a doorway that the blessings come in. Amen. Please accept, this is the complete Jewish Bible. Please accept my mouth's voluntary offerings, Adonai, and teach me your rulings. Voluntary. That's like when I was saying to the kid, come on, say thank you. It's like, it's not voluntary. It's like twisting his arm, twisting her arm. And, you know, we're teaching them good habits, good behavior. But it really needs to be voluntary. God wants cheerful givers. And He wants cheerful givers in our worship, our singing. He wants cheerful givers in our thanksgiving. He wants cheerful givers in every aspect of our life. And if we're not cheerful givers, then what does that mean? We're begrudgingly, really, being Christians. We're not truly offering him all of us. You ever thought about that? Well, but I mean, I follow the rules of being a Christian. Yeah, but really Christianity is about having oneness with God. It's about having union with God. I mean, if my marriage with my wife was all about me just following these things so that I'm within the guidelines of a marriage, but it was no oneness or union, it would be shallow. I mean, it would be pathetic. Because it would not be demonstrating our relationship with God. And it would also be probably pretty exhausting. I don't know if any of you have ever tried to just keep a whole bunch of rules all the time, but it's exhausting. Even trying to remember them. That's why I feel so sorry for the Israelites. And I mean, the 600 and something rules. Can you imagine that? I mean, you probably forgot, you know, you start the list, you forgot where you started. Okay, which one was that, you know? That's why I think Jesus really narrowed it down. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You're going to fulfill pretty much all the commandments if you do that. Amen? And then the web says this, accept, I beg you, the willing offerings of my mouth. Yahweh, teach me your ordinances. So free will, voluntary, willing. Be willing to praise the Lord. And you know, it's kind of crazy that this has to be preached. This should come from the depths of our being thankful people, being grateful people. But a lot of us deal with ungratefulness. I think some of it might stem from unforgiveness. When you're in unforgiveness with somebody, it's hard to be in good relationship with God. It's almost impossible, really. With what Gay was sharing, I mean, if you don't respond to the Holy Spirit's drawing of you to get you out of that harboring whatever it is, you're not going to be able to really thank God, because you're going to be somewhat mad at him as well, because he put them in your life, right? You got somebody to blame. Blame him for them. Hello. Psalm 116, 16 through 17. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I mean, we should be able to say that. I am your servant. I am your servant. I'm the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I mean, I'll tell you what, before I came to Christ, I had bondages going on all the time. I was trapped. I was chained. I was handcuffed. I was miserable before I came to Christ. I mean, I would have issues with myself. I was so full of issues. And when he came into my life and he chose me and he drew me out of bondage, he loosed my bonds. Now, if you can't say that, then you need to get a fresh appearance of the Lord in your life, of what he's done for you, or a fresh revelation. You know, a fresh come to Jesus moment. Realize that without him in your life, you're probably in bondage. And maybe you don't appreciate the fact that you're not in bondage anymore. But look at other people's lives around you. The shipwrecked lives that people are dealing with every single day because they don't know God. That could be you. And then he says, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I think it's easier to call upon the Lord when we offer sacrifices of thanksgiving, because we're in right relationship. Right. We're in a place where we feel like we can approach God because we appreciate him. We're grateful for him. But if you're like holding grudges for others or him, it's hard to approach him. It's hard to call upon the name of the Lord. What's it say? Those who call upon the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. That doesn't just mean from hell. That means salvation. Salvation is an all-encompassing thing in our lives. And if we're not calling upon the name of the Lord, how are we going to be saved? Truly saved. The kind of salvation that Jesus talked about, that abundant life. I want you to have life and life abundantly. The thief's wanting to steal, kill, and destroy, but I want you to have life and have it abundantly. When you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. You're into that abundant life. Come on, amen. Psalm 107, 21 through 22. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. This is a psalmist saying, I just wish people would thank the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We kind of sang that about, I still believe. You are wonderful. You are powerful. You do miracles. Were we just singing those words and not believing what we're singing? Because he is powerful. He is wonderful. He does do miracles still. And for those wonderful works that he does, we should be giving him thanks. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. It's a sacrifice. And I'm going to give you a little story here of how much of a sacrifice it can be. But I believe it's worth it. I believe if we can get past our hurts, we can get past our pain, we can get past our unforgiveness, we can get past our being irritated and start thanking God, something opens up. There is a deliverance that's there for us when we thank God. I think that's why the Lord led you down that path to share on that, because it really is important. How many of you are familiar with Jonah? The runaway prophet, the I don't want to do what you're asking me to do prophet, the 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale prophet, right? Yeah. And, you know, he even though he was running, when it came to that there was like someone that was, you know, going to be, you know, blamed for what was going on the ship and he was going to get thrown in, he said, hey, it's me, guys. I'm running from God. It's like, and they wanted to, you know, they didn't want to throw him in. He says, no, I'll go. So he had a good heart, but he also had issues. But even in his issues, at the very end of the famous Jonah 2, where he's in the belly of the well and he says those powerful things that again relate to the cross. Verse 9 says this, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of my thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. I love this in verse 10. So the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah on dry land. Now, I don't know if he would, if he had to get to the place where he's willing to say, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to thank you that I'm in the belly of the fish. That's when belly of the fish, when he finally spit him on dry land. But I think some of us, unfortunately, myself has been in positions like this included, that until we get to the place where we're willing to thank him in the belly of the well or in the deepest, darkest pit of our life, that we don't get out of the pit. Because the pit isn't there to make us miserable. The pit is there to make us grow. If you look at Joseph, the pit wasn't there to make him feel like his brothers were betraying him. The pit was there so he would get to Egypt. And when he got to Egypt, Potiphar's house, when his wife, Potiphar's wife, accused him of basically trying to seduce him, and he never did, that wasn't put in his life so that he would just be thrown into prison. He was thrown into prison so that he would eventually sit at the right hand of Pharaoh. We don't understand a lot of times why we go through the things that we do. And if we would give our heart an opportunity to be marinated by the presence of God, maybe we would be able to see from his perspective and not let those moments take away our joy, take away our peace, take away our comfort of the Holy Spirit. And let us start and keep looking just like the world, instead of people that have like a reason to get up in the morning, a reason to have love in their heart, a reason to share what God has put in them. But sometimes it takes us to the place where I'm willing to sacrifice to you, Lord, the voice of my thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. It was about, probably
6 years ago. With COVID, it's hard to get dates right. I was with someone, they were saying, yeah, it's like 4 years ago. I said, no, it's before COVID, guys. It's like, anybody else kind of lose their dates after COVID? It's kind of a blur. It was about 6 years ago. It was a Sunday morning. And we had gone through, probably a year and a half of people just leaving. Some just leaving because, you know, the Lord put something else on their heart, no problem. But then there were ones that left, like, wrongly and didn't even come to us and caused, like, you know, the bitterness and the backbiting and all of that you can get. And so it was kind of a miserable time. There was one Sunday that we had the service, and other than Jesse and the three of us or four of us that was on the platform, maybe it was five of us, I can't remember. There was one person that came, and I hadn't seen him for years, and he sat right up front, and we just did service just like, you know, it was a normal Sunday. But it was like, you go home from that, it's like, okay, Lord, are we done? You know, you're asking him these questions, you know. So there was all this, like, this stuff that was getting pent up inside of me. And I knew I was getting in a bad place. I was in the belly of the well. That was starting, it was dark. It was like closing on me, and I didn't know if I was going to make it. So I was sitting downstairs in the basement of the parsonage, and I was getting my clothes ready for church. And I just felt like something's got to give. You ever get to the place you feel like something's got to give? Yeah. Something's got to give, because I can't keep doing it this way. And so I, with gritted teeth, guys, I did this with gritted teeth. Literally, my teeth were gritted when I started this. I said, thank you, Lord. Like this. Thank you, Lord, for having all these people leave the church. Thank you, Lord. I named them one by one. Thank you, Lord, for them leaving the church. And, you know, I just, like, you know, gritting my teeth. Then all of a sudden, I started saying, thank you, Lord. So it changed. I'm not gritting now. I'm starting to say it with my voice. Not really, like, fully flowing, but I'm not gritting my teeth because something's already starting to happen. Once I went through that door of thanksgiving, the presence came. And the presence came, started comforting my heart, started changing the atmosphere. And so I said, thank you, Lord. And so by the end of it, I'm weeping, I'm crying, I'm thanking him for what he's going to do now because of all the brokenness he's brought and all of that. And I must have been in there 15 minutes. But I went into the room one way, and I walked out of the room different. I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. If you have to do this, start this way. Thank you, Lord, for what's... I mean, start. Start by faith. And as you do it by faith, it's just like anything. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we become thankful people by faith. Then after a while, it becomes easy because it's part of your DNA. I believe if we had the opportunity to be around Jesus, I bet he was the most thankful person that you've ever met. I bet he oohed thankfulness. I bet it's one of the things that drew people to him. You're from Nazareth and you're happy? You're thankful? In Hebrews 13:15, now this isn't necessarily always about just thankfulness, but it is also communicating to us this process that we need to keep in our mind. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, by him, let us continually. Does anybody know what continually is? Continually, never stopping. Continually. In other words, what I'm telling you need to do often. I mean, you can't do it like all the time when you're talking, but make it part of your worship. Make it part of your devotion. Make it part of your life. Offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, it tells you what it is. You're not just guessing, well, what is the sacrifice of praise? That is the fruit of our lips. What is the fruit of our lips? Words. So you could say, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is our words. So if we don't speak, now we can internally thank the Lord. I do that sometimes, you know, and I'm grateful and I'm quiet, especially if I'm around a lot of people, you know, and I need to pray silently. But why do we have a voice? Why did God give it to us? So that we could speak. I know some guys don't like to speak. You know, some guys, you know, like, oh, I don't want to talk. But we should be able to talk to God. We should be able to praise God vocally with all that we have. And then giving thanks to his name. So praising him with the sacrifice of praise and then giving thanks to his name, I believe you can add the sacrifice of thanksgiving in there. NIV says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually, there's that word again, offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And the Amplified says it this way, through him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer to God a sacrifice of praise. So that really explains the continually. It's constantly and at all times. I haven't mastered that yet. If any of you have, please see me after church and tell me how you do it. But that is the encouragement that we're to follow, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. Amen? So the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So you're saying, Pastor, I'm just not like that. I can't do that. You know, I don't even know like where to start. Well, here's a place to start. Have any of you ever heard of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness or gentleness, and self-control. You can memorize those or hide them in your heart. You know, second Galatians chapter 5, I think verse 18, 19. Do I have it there? I don't even have it there. Sorry. It's somewhere in chapter 5, right after all the naughty lists that you're not supposed to do. One of the things that I do periodically is go through the fruit of the Spirit and apply it to my life with thanksgiving. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to come up with a list here. A lot of times it's just inspired by the Lord in the moment, spontaneous. But this will give you some idea. This is things that you can do with verses. And I use the fruit of the Spirit because it applies so much to all the scope of what he can do for our lives. But maybe it's just something as simple as John 3:16. Yeah. You could say, you know, what's it say? For God so loved the world. Put you in there. Yeah. God, you so loved me. Wow. You loved me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. That you gave your only begotten son for me. Thank you, Jesus, for giving up. So see, you make the word personal. You make it like you're giving it back as an offering. You're taking in the word, and now you're giving it back as you've applied it to your life with gratefulness. So the fruit of the Spirit, thank you, Lord, for your love that you demonstrated in Jesus' sacrifice. He did. It says that, and most of this is scriptural, that it says that God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So he demonstrated his love through Jesus. So I communicate that. And then thank you, Lord, for your joy that is my strength. If you have any strength in you, I believe it comes from God's joy. Thank you, Lord, for peace that guards my heart, and I should say, and mind. For peace that guards my heart and mind. You know, it says to be anxious for nothing, but everything through prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And what's it say? And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. So he's guarding my heart and my mind. Thank you, Lord, for your patience with my shortcomings and failures. Anybody say amen there? Aren't you glad that God is patient with you? Aren't you glad that you're not getting the wrath of God that we deserve? Even as Christians, does your behavior always line up with the character of Christ? No. Yet he is patient with us, and he sees us beyond who we are. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness to me and my loved ones. Thank you for your goodness shown in mercy. That means he could be mean to us, but he chooses to be good to us because of his mercies. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness that never gives up on me. Some may give up on me. Some have given up on me. But God will never give up on me, and he'll never give up on you. He is faithful. Thank you, Lord, for your gentleness in dealing with my fears. You know, fears can grip us to the place where we're like, you know, stalled. We're like frozen. And his gentleness comes along and says, come on, son, you can do it. Come on, daughter, you can do it. You can get beyond this point. That meekness of his heart. And then thank you, Lord, for your long suffering that never stops believing in me. Even when I don't believe in myself, God believes in me. So you see here, we just take the simple fruit of the Spirit and we start applying it to our lives and we make it a thanksgiving to him. We give it back to him. And you know what? When you're proclaiming that, just like our declarations, you're now declaring something over your life. You're initiating something that's going to become like powerful in your life that can continue to grow. So say, well, Pastor, I can't do that. Thank you, Lord, for your love that you don't. And maybe you have to start that way. Yeah. You just have to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Just a little tiny bit. I'm telling you, I didn't grit my teeth for 10 minutes. I grit my teeth for maybe like one or two times. And then all of a sudden, God said, oh, someone's ready to change. Someone's ready to move into the next thing I have for them. Because he has something for all of us. And some of us are stalled because of a lack of moving forward. Sometimes it's Thanksgiving. Sometimes it's unforgiveness. A lot of things are connected. So then I've got one more thing for you. If you have a problem with Scripture, maybe you just need to be thankful for some simple things in your life. Ideas for thankfulness. I am thankful for the gift of life. Can we all just say that? We're all breathing. We're all here. We all made it out of our houses. Some are laying in hospital beds ready to go. They've gotten their final, you know, love from their family, and they don't know if they'll see tomorrow. And yet today, all of us have been given the breath of life and the strength to get here. Praise God. Yes. I'm thankful, Lord, for my job and the ability and skills to work. Some of you may think that your skills and your abilities are your skills and your abilities. They're gifts from God. You shouldn't be boastful in your skills and abilities. Those are things that have been given to you by God. Well, say, no, I went to school. I studied hard. I worked. Yeah, he gave you the ability to reason. He gave you the ability to think. He gave you the ability to put two and two together and get four and not five. Even though people are trying to do that today, it is four. It's not five. I am thankful, Lord, for health. There is always someone that's in worse health than you, I'm telling you. No matter how bad your health may be, there's somebody in worse. So you should be thankful for the health that you do have. I am thankful for the people in our lives. Think about all the people that God has put in your lives. Maybe you're going, maybe one or two. Well, be thankful for them. I'm so thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for everybody that calls this place home. I'm thankful for those that don't call this place home, that God's had given the opportunity to have them in my life. Because they've deposited something in me. It wasn't just me depositing in them. I'm thankful for your gifts, Lord, and you bestowed them on us. You know, he has given us so many gifts. And I mean, not just spiritual gifts, but he's just given us so many gifts in our life that a lot of them we take for granted. I'm thankful, Lord, for this simple daily comforts. Warm bed, food, clean water. Talk to somebody that's homeless that doesn't want to be homeless. They would long for a warm bed. They would long for food that, you know, how many of us can always go find something in the fridge or in the cupboard? Something, you know. Every now and then it might get down to, but even then, there's like a, you know, some kind of bar that we forgot was in the, I mean, very rarely are our cupboards completely empty in the United States. We can be thankful for that. I tell you this, when I'm taking a hot shower, I'm Lord, thank you for this hot shower. I just want the Lord to know I appreciate it, and that it is something that I'm not taking for granted. Thank you for the freedom and ability to worship. We're in a country that we can come and worship freely. Other places, not so much. They can't even gather in public, or they'll be killed. I'm thankful for the beauty of creation, nature, sunset, seasons. Ever thought about just something simple like that? The sun rose this morning. Wow. Somewhere the sun rose this morning. It got light, let's put it that way. But on a bright, sunny day, all of a sudden you look and, you know, it just feels glorious, the sun hitting you. Thank the Lord at that time. Take a moment, just thank him as you feel that heat hitting you. He did that. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings and challenges and difficulties. It's kind of like what I was sharing earlier. When you realize that the challenges and difficulties are not there to destroy you, but they're there to give you strength and encouragement when you move beyond them and change you eternally, not just for a moment, but eternally, more into the character and nature of Christ, you can be more thankful for them. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to learn and grow with opportunities. Thank you, Lord, for modern conveniences that improve life. Technology, right here, helps me preach. Praise the Lord. The gift of friendship and community. Amen. That's awesome, to have friends and community. If you don't have it, thank the Lord for them coming, because they'll be coming into your life. You start thanking him for your friends and your community, guess what? You'll start having friends and community. It's crazy how when you start thanking him for something that you don't have, all of a sudden it appears. Thank you, Lord, for protection and safety. Thank you, Lord, for moments of joy and laughter. I love that. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace and your unconditional love. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of personal relationships, husbands and wife, children. Those are special, or they can be special if we appreciate them. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to overcome past struggles. Thank you, Lord, for educational opportunities. Amen to the students in the room. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of time and brand new each day. Every day we have 24 hours, and it's a gift to us, what we do with it. God doesn't force us. Does anybody have God personally come and wake you up in the morning and tell you what you're going to do all day? Anybody? I know there's some crazy prophets that have some of that, but it's still our choice if we want to follow or not. And then thank you for our spiritual growth and personal transformation. Those are simple things, but none of this will change your life unless you start applying something simple. If you're not a thankful person, start making yourself to be a thankful person. Listen to thankful songs. That'll help. Listen to worship songs that have the thank you in them. There's one by Jonathan Helser, and Thank You, I think it's what it's called, or Thanks. I think he has a couple of them. He just thanks the Lord in it. See, those kind of things, what you're doing, you're creating an atmosphere in your heart for thankfulness to dwell. And I mean, what a better time to think of Thanksgiving than Thanksgiving. Maybe you have to wait till next year and, oh yeah, Pastor Mike says I got to be thankful. Start then. But the sooner you start being a thankful person, I believe the sooner doors will open. Because it says that we're to enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Thanksgiving opens up the door into his presence all the time. So if you're feeling down, you're feeling disconnected, you're feeling lonely, you're feeling abandoned, start thanking him. And you won't. I can attest for that. You won't. Every time I've chosen to do that, his presence comes. And my situation, at least in my heart, changes. Amen. Appreciative of not only you, but of those around us, that we would have the calling card of being, man, those people are very thankful, that we would demonstrate that character of God on a daily basis, Lord, on a regular basis. We would be people that could learn how to sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Have a wonderful day.